Carl Tepper sitting in for Chad Hasty, and it's Friday. No, it's Thursday Night Lights. Thursday Night. We have Stephen Orr on the line. Stephen, can you hear me?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm really excited to do this with you. I've never gotten to do this before. I really enjoy, I hope people appreciate and don't take for granted the culture here in Texas, particularly West Texas, the great high school sort of community spirit and football rivalries that happen here, in, especially in this side of the state. And I'll tell you, Stephen, I was the last couple of weeks in a row, my daughter has some events over towards the Friendship Stadium, and the line to get in the Friendship starts about 2 hours before the game. When I say a line, I mean a traffic backup from the Marsha Sharp all the way down 82nd Street. I mean, a few miles.
Well, and with good reason. They're ranked top 10 in the state right now. They're undefeated on the year. And Friendship certainly looks to be poised to make a deep run in the playoffs this year, Carl.
And I want to go to one of their games. I'm afraid now. I'm afraid I won't be able to get in. So tell me about what's going on in high school football. Now, I follow a little bit of six-man, too. I like to look at what's going on in Borden, Meadow. I also follow some of the other mid-teams, Sweetwater, Abilene Cooper. I like to follow Midland Lee for some reason. I had some friends went there. So tell me what you got.
Well, when you look at District 2-5A, you spoke of Midland Lee. They're atop the district right now. The Rebels are at 7-1 on the year, 6-0 in district. They came off a win last week against Amarillo Tascosa, and this week they are going to take on Odessa Permian. So the old Midland Lee-Odessa Permian game, which from back in the Friday Night Lights era, was one of the big football games played every year, and that's going on. But that sets the stage for next week when Midland Lee will take on San Angelo Central. Midland Lee probably will come into that game undefeated in district. San Angelo Central should be at, they should be at 6-1, and it could be with San Angelo Central playing for a share of that district championship. Lubbock Coronado pretty much playing out the string for the year. They'll take on Midland High, and that ball game takes place, Amarillo Tascosa, and that ball game takes place tonight there at Lowry Field in Lubbock. And Tascosa has struggled all year except for the one game where they pop up and beat San Angelo Central, who nobody's been able to touch all year. So Coronado's going to have their hands full with a Tascosa team that's shown the ability to pop up and startle somebody. When we drop down into District 4-4A, and that's the district with Friendship, you've got Friendship sitting there, number 10 in the state, 8-0, 3-0 in district play, and then you've got everybody else, and what a jumbled mess that district is. Plainview sitting at 2-1 in district. They beat Lubbock Monterey last week, 35-28. This week they take on Hereford team that's 1-7 and 1-2 in district. So, and then you've got Monterey taking on San Angelo Lakeview. Lakeview beat Lubbock High beat Plainview 2 weeks ago, then lost to Lubbock High last week. But with four
teams, just to jump in, I really like Coach Pearson. I've been rooting for him all season, and it's been just a really tough year for Monterey.
Monterey, they're better than their record, and that's a cliche, and I know it is. The problem is there's been several times this year when Monterey has been their own worst enemy with turnovers, untimely penalties, and if they could get some of those issues resolved here in the last couple of weeks, they take on Lubbock High next week to finish up the season. So a win tonight, a win next week, and they're sitting there in that playoff picture, but they've got to take care of the ball, and they've got to take care of some of the issues on their side of the ball. They're very effective when they go to run in the football.
They had a I was watching one of their games on late-night television. Was it Canyon? It was real close. They should have won that game. And also, Odessa's having a disappointing year. Isn't that right?
Odessa, they've struggled a little bit. They're 3-5. They're 2-4 in district. And, you know, really, neither one of the Odessa teams are where you would expect them to be when we look at that 2-5A race. But the Broncos just struggling. Let's see how they do as they take on Midland High tonight. Midland High is at 4-4, 3-3, and that should be a close ball game. But Odessa last week, again, stumbled against Abilene High, which is one of the worst Abilene High teams that we've seen in the last decade. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't quite get it done there. So it'll be interesting. when we look over at District 2-3A, I'll tell you what, the ball game that anybody that wants to go see a great ball game needs to get out and see, or one of the good ones, I think, is going to be Lubbock Cooper at Shallow Water. Lubbock Cooper 7-1 on the year, 3-0 in district, taking on Shallow Water, who's 8-0, 3-0 in district. And Cooper, after an early stumble, has really played some good football, and they seem to get better every week. Shallow Water has just steamrolled through their whole schedule, and I think Cooper probably one of the toughest games they will have played so far this year, and that is going to be a dandy of a ball game, and I believe will be for the outright district championship in District 2-3A. So a great ball game up there in Shallow Water to pay attention to this week. Last week, Shallow Water beat Andrews 35-6, Lubbock Cooper in a 17-10 win over Leveland. And the Leveland Lobos are another team we need to pay attention to in that district. They're very good. They're 5-3. They're 1-2 in district, but their two losses are to Shallow Water and to Lubbock Cooper, the top two teams in the district. So I think Leveland very well is going to be in the playoffs. They've got to take on they lost to Lubbock Estacado. They've got to take on Shallow Water next week. So the back end of their schedule, pretty heavy, but I still think they'll be a playoff team there.
I was speaking with Stephen Orr from the West Texas Friday Night Scoreboard Show. It airs Friday nights, 10 p.m. on 1340 the Fan. Again, Stephen Orr, tuning in on Friday nights. I do it all the time when I'm driving around town later on a Friday night. 10 p.m., 1340 the Fan. He'll keep you up with all the scores and some of the interesting facts going on around the leagues. Stephen, tell me anything good going on with six-man football this year?
Well, in six-man football, you mentioned the District 3 of six-man Division 1. That's got Lubbock Harmony and Ropes, Whiteface, and Meta, and Anton. Anton is undefeated on the year. They're 8-0 and 2-0 going into this week's game. Meadow is a little bit down. They're 3-4 and 3-5 and 0-3. Lubbock Harmony didn't even play their game last week. They forfeited Ropes. So, that district, Anton is certainly the cream of the crop there, and it'll be interesting. Borden County, a team that we're not used to seeing with a 2-5 record. They really were hit hard by graduation last year. But they did eke out a win over Klondike last week. And then you've got Grady, that beat O'Donnell. So Grady appears they have the best record in the district. And I think they probably are going to come out with a championship there. But Borden County, a team that we were used to seeing and we're used to talking about come playoff time. And I think they'll, with two teams coming out, they should have a chance to get in the playoffs. I'm just not sure that they have what it takes this year to get it done.
What's Sweetwater looking at? They're having a disappointing season. I saw Sweetwater versus Snyder. Snyder's not having a stellar season either. Tell me what's going on down there.
Well, when you look at District 4-3A, I mean, it's really kind of interesting. Monahans has just rolled. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're 2-0, now 3-0 in district play. And you talk about the Snyder Tigers. Snyder has lost six games.
Yeah.
By a total of 10 points.
Yeah, they took it to Sweetwater, though, when I was
to Sweetwater. Mm-hmm. Sweetwater played Big Spring last week, and they just haven't been able to get the stops necessary. Sweetwater's putting points on the board. The defense just needs to step up a little bit. And that's such a tough district when you look. You've got Abilene Wiley, you've got Big Spring, you've got Monahans, then Snyder and Sweetwater, of course, a rivalry game. And you know that if Snyder gets in front in that game, they're going to put the foot on the gas, and that's exactly what they did, and Sweetwater didn't have an answer for it.
Hey, Stephen, real quickly, I'm going to get a little political on you. I was at the legislature last spring and bumped into a big party leader, Tim Lambert. For the Texas Homeschool Association, they were trying to get into the UIL. Whatever did happen with that, were the homeschoolers able to form their own teams?
I don't know. I mean, they still show up as private schools as far as what we're looking at, so they haven't gotten that done yet. I know there's a push to get that done, and it's happened with some private schools, some of the bigger private schools in the major metroplex areas. I believe Dallas Jesuit, I believe, is one that's gotten in and done that. And it'll be interesting to see. I don't know.
It was a tougher. I didn't realize all the dynamics could be so troublesome on that, because you can just pack a team, call them homeschoolers.
Well, and that was exactly the point I was fixing to make. The problem you're going to get into with that, and I mean, there's whole UIL eligibility rules that we face in public schools. Say if you transfer from school A to school B, then the UIL has to look at it and say, did you transfer for the purposes of participating in sports, or was this a legitimate deal? And you hear stories about dads that get jobs in oil patch or whatever because they've got a really great athlete. And the homeschooling deal would really open that up, because if you had a group of kids and say, hey, let's form our homeschool team, and you could just pick the best of the best, and they get to be a little bit more selective.
You know, the funny thing is, it might be us just making up situations, because a lot of the oil patch schools just really aren't doing that well.
No,
I mean, Monahans is, but all the rest of them, Snyder and the rest, aren't doing that great.
Well, but if you remember back in the late 90s, and so there, that was part of the accusations that were made against Permian and some of those
right.
teams. And I don't think the evidence...
Great Texas stories, by the way.
Right, but the evidence of that isn't on the scoreboard anyway, like you said. And some of those teams have just continued to be really good no matter what. And so, I don't know. I think there's pros and cons to it, but I think the UIL should be confined. This is Stephen Orr's opinion, and it counts for exactly what
it is.
The UIL should be for public schools in Texas.
I've always wanted to ask you that. Stephen, great. I don't know how he remembers, Ariel, all those scores. Great job. That's Stephen Orr from the West Texas Friday Night Scoreboard Show. 10 p.m., 1340 The Fan. You guys need to tune in, and I bet there's some great businesses need to sponsor that, too. So thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too, sir.